That's my special guest tonight, and he's a Sydney saxophonist who's been on the scene for over 17 years. He studied with Col Lochnan, John Hoffman and Tony Buchanan before becoming one of the most in-demand saxophonists in Sydney today. His most recent work saw him tour with the British group The Brand New Heavies, and he's worked with the likes of Katie Noonan and James Morrison, and is the co-founder of the Sonic Mayhem Orchestra. Aaron Michael, welcome to Now's the Time.
Hello, thank you.
Aaron, you started playing the saxophone at an early age. Why did you choose the saxophone?
For me, my father actually wanted to learn the saxophone, so he bought an old alto to teach himself, and I ended up kind of picking it up and messing around with it and spending more time on it than what he did, and so it just kind of went from there.
So does that indicate you come from a musical family?
Yeah, my dad's got seven sisters that are all classical musicians. They all went through the conservatorium before me, and my parents play a bit of guitar and piano, but they're not like professionals. And then my younger brother, who's a very good trombone player, up until recently where he kind of decided he wanted to do something different, but he was great. My sister played clarinet in high school.
Wow, and you're talking about the Queensland Conservatorium there, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
And you're originally from New Zealand.
I was born there, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what is it about New Zealand and all these great musos that come across? It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of them. It's funny, in Sydney, there's very rarely will you actually meet a musician that's actually from Sydney.
That's right.
We're either from New Zealand or Brisbane or Perth or Canberra.
It's quite incredible.
Yeah.
Who would you nominate as your major influences on the saxophone, Aaron?
Listening to saxophone players, I'm a huge fan of Branford Marsalis and Michael Brecker, John Coltrane, of course, Sonny Rollins. There's a Charlie Parker, Cannonball Adderley. There's a long list. But also, I really like listening to guitarists, and I think I've probably been influenced by guitarists and other instruments as well.
I got the impression from your website looking at that today that you play the tenor saxophone, but that's probably not all the instruments you play.
No, I love playing the soprano saxophone as well, although I don't get the opportunity outside of my band really to play that instrument. But being a session player, for lack of a better word, I've got to play all the saxophones and flute and clarinet reasonably well in order to eat and pay the rent.
Do you have any particular favorite period in the history of jazz?
Depends on who I'm listening to. I mean, suppose I really like the 50s Miles Davis bands would be my favorite, with Cannonball and Coltrane. You know, kind of, it really depends on the artist. You know, I like a lot of kind of post-Coltrane tenor players and that whole kind of post-bop period I really love. Yeah, I don't think I have a particular period in jazz, but it just depends on where the artist was placed, I guess,
yes,
in the period.
Yeah. Yes. The saxophone continues to be an enormously popular instrument for budding musicians to choose. And Coltrane, one of your influences, but he's been dead for over 45 years, so it can't be all because of him. What is it about the allure of the tenor saxophone that continues to attract so many young musicians?
I don't know. It's a funny question. I've often thought about that myself in the past. I'd kind of thought that the tenor saxophone seems to be like the electric guitar of the rock and roll world. You know, it's kind of that lead. I don't know how to describe it. I think that's just the tone of the voice. I've heard it said that it's very similar. It closely resembles the human voice. You know, that's what they say anyway.
Now, Aaron, we're chatting with you tonight because you're one of the co-founders of the Sonic Mayhem Orchestra, and the Sonic Mayhem Orchestra is, it's a relatively new ensemble. You've been around for what, 2 years?
Just over 1 year, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because you had a bit of a residency when you kicked off down at the Blue Beat, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. We started, actually, I think it was this time last year, we started performing every week on Monday nights at Blue Beat, and we did that for about 4 months. And it was great. It was a great way to kick a band off and get a good sound. And the band played every week. It was like a great rehearsal, you know. But
and you had special guests from memory too that would come, guest vocalists and so forth?
Yeah, we didn't start out that way. It was just the band performing mostly original music written by James Ryan. And other people in the band like Dave Panicki. And we just did our own instrumental stuff. But then we kind of decided to, it was a lot of work doing it every Monday, and trying to promote a gig every single week was a lot of work. So then we scaled it back to a monthly gig and kind of developed the idea of featuring a special guest, something that which we could promote and make a bit more of a special night for the audience.
Yes.
So that's what we've been doing ever since. And even doing it once a month last year was kind of a lot of work. So I think we're scaling it back to once every 2 months. And that just gives us time to make the gig better and more special, and to put more effort into each gig.
Communion. And because you've written this particular track, and it has that sort of a bit of a gospel sound about it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bluesy, gospely kind of thing. It was
Yeah.
actually originally written for a communion service at a church, but during the rehearsal, they thought it sounded a bit weird, so it never got played.
Now, you formed the Sonic Mayhem Orchestra with James Ryan,
That's right.
a former teacher of yours, and I guess you're probably still learning off him on a
Yeah.
bandstand. The concept you had in mind, I mean, when you guys got together, what were you actually thinking about?
What were we thinking about? That's a good question.
Because I mean, you got some great players in that group. I mean, it wasn't only a it mustn't have been just let's get some of these guys that aren't normally heard, well, aren't heard as often as they should be heard.
Yeah, one of the things with that, one of the concepts is we wanted everyone in the band to be able to solo and to have a voice, a strong solo voice of their own. And I think we achieved that. You know, everyone in the band is a great soloist in their own right. And for the most part, most of them are band leaders and composers in their own right. So I think that really kind of makes the band unique in a way. You know, it's not really, not to kind of put anyone else down, but it's not like a session-y band, you know.
Yes.
Where and it takes a we've rehearsed a lot, you know, and some of the music is quite challenging. The music requires, not sight readable, you know. The music requires practice and a lot of the time it's written for the specific musicians as well. I think that's pretty much what we had in mind from the start.
Now, let's talk a little bit more generally about the scene in Sydney. It's going through an interesting period at the moment for live music. There has been an increase in recent years in the number of venues presenting music, but one gets the impression that it's somewhat of a struggle to maintain sufficient audience demand. What's the feeling among musicians?
I think it's the feeling amongst musicians is mixed. You talk to some musicians and you'll get a kind of a negative story, and then others more positive. I kind of tend to lean on the positive side. Take a band like, for example, the Subterraneans. You know, they play every Sunday night at the Townie, which is a pub with free entry in Newtown on a Sunday night, and the place is packed. So I think, you know, getting audiences, you can turn up to you can go and do a gig at a venue where you kind of another venue where people might have to pay, or it's out of the way. For example, Bluebeat, you know, when we were doing Sonic Mayhem there, it was hard to get people there. No one really knew about the club. It's not kind of There's no walk-by traffic there, and it was hard to get people there. I think it just comes down to the music that you're playing. If you're playing good quality music and it's got a good energy about it, and people enjoy listening to it, then you'll have an audience, you know. I think it's the important thing is keeping the audience in mind, or considering the audience from the start, you know, when you're thinking
Engaging
it
them.
in, yeah, when you're writing music, when you're presenting music, how you present it. If you've got the audience in mind, I think that's you're on a good track, you know.
Exactly. What's on the horizon for yourself personally, Aaron? You've got a fantastic album that we've heard tonight to sell now, and I'd imagine that you've got a website, of course, Aaron Michael Band, I think it is.
Yeah.
Aaron with two A's, of course, aaronmichaelband.com.
For me, it's just trying to organise gigs. I'm in the process of teeing up gigs with the band to try and tour the album in Queensland and Melbourne. And that's kind of taking up all my efforts at the moment, trying to get the album reviewed. Yeah, it's the first time. It's a learning experience. I've never done this thing as a band leader before, so kind of finding my way, and that's kind of where my efforts are at the moment.
Aaron Michael, thanks very much for joining us in the studio.
It's been a pleasure.